Hey there, and welcome to Drunk Distery presents the Dark Ride, a fun theme parks themed game show with zero prizes and lots of drinking. If you're a returning listener, thanks for coming back. If you're new here, bienvenue. My name is Adrian, and I am speaking many different languages today, and I'm here with my co-host Ryan. We are two people who love all things theme parks and started this podcast so we can drink all about them with fellow theme parks loving fans, just like you. Okay, now that's out of the way, let's find out what restaurant we're going to be drinking responsibly this week. It's always showtime at this place where you'll find American classics on the menu and scary clips on the screen. Don't scream with your mouth full, though, because it's sci-fi dine-in theater restaurant week. I really can't stand some of this naming. We're just going to call it sci-fi dine-in from now on out, but that's the full name. That's right, with its kitschy vintage memorabilia, illuminated taillights, and a sky full of twinkling stars, you'll be happy you placed your order here in this perfectly themed, old-fashioned style drive-in restaurant. So let's grab some 50-foot drinks and some rampaging robot facts, and we'll be right back.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks.
I love that fucking hot dog that like jumps around like a dog and then jumps into the bun.
I mean, but how horrifying.
He pets him on the head.
He's alive, and we all know where this is ending up.
Right.
That dog is being eaten.
Oh, man, that's dark.
Yeah, we're going straight to...
We're just going right into it, aren't we, today?
Straight to the slums just dive of China, right in. Where this dog is being eaten.
I still love it, though.
He's adorable.
A dogable.
He's a dogable.
He is. I mean, that's when... I mean, those were the good old days. I mean, we weren't there, but I've seen it in... I've seen it as nostalgia when it was the 80s and 90s.
Sure.
So it's sort of...
Yeah, I mean, like, I've been at movie theaters that they've played that.
Right, but they were playing it as nostalgia from the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, but it didn't stop me from going to get snacks.
No.
It made me want snacks.
You wanted a soda pop from the concession stand.
Yes.
Yeah,
a soda pop.
Did you guys have drive-ins when you were...
I did.
Yeah, we did too. It was a big deal.
I loved going to the drive-in. It was a huge deal.
Yeah.
You packed everybody in the car.
Hid them under the seat.
Oh, yeah.
Your dad made you crouch down to get the under 7-year-old rate when you were 12?
Yep, put me in the trunk.
Same.
And we would pack so many, because ours was by the carload, right?
Oh.
So it wasn't by the head. So you would just pack as many people you could in the car. And then you would, you'd have so many people that you couldn't sit comfortably in the car. So you would get lawn chairs.
Yeah. We did that too.
And sit in front of the car, sit to the side of the car or whatever.
Blasting the radio out of the window.
Yeah. Or having a Walkman. I would have my Walkman that was turned into to whatever channel that, whatever AM radio station they were playing the thing on.
Yeah.
And then halfway through you would switch it out of 50 Goes West and start
listen
watching
to the
Alien.
One on the other screen. Yeah.
I'm going to watch that R-rated day.
Right.
Cool movie. Mom can't catch me because she's not watching.
Is he handing out individual popcorns in bags and then the little candy bag?
From home.
Yeah. And then the candy bag with the mini chocolates.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Those are good times.
Good moms.
Let's drink to that.
Yeah. You know what? Absolutely.
Okay.
Let's drink to that.
So
drink to mom.
Drink to moms. So because it's a 50s drive-in, I think we need a milkshake.
I love it.
But a boozy one?
I love me a boozy milkshake.
Okay. So this is a boozy Bailey's Oreo milkshake. They have an Oreo.
Hello, diabetes.
Yeah. This is, you're going to lose your foot when you drink this one.
It's going to be good, though.
It's going to be good. You're going to enjoy it. They have a cookies and cream style drink on this menu, but this is different. We're going to need a half a pint of vanilla ice cream, slightly softened. Two Oreo cookies, 1/2 ounce of Bailey's Irish cream, 1/2 ounce of vanilla vodka, and you're going to add all of those things to the blender and blend until smooth and creamy and pour into your favorite mug. We also like to make things look pretty, so we need a little garnish. So you're going to take a chocolate syrup on a small plate and chocolate sprinkles on another plate and dip the glass in the...
You're going margarita style, but with desserts.
With dessert. I'm adding more sugar.
Yeah.
So you want to dip the, you know, obviously, you guys know how to rim a glass. Come on. Yeah. And they,
it's just your old-fashioned rim job.
Just a good rim job on the glass. It's good to maybe do this this step first, put that in the refrigerator.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I recommend doing that first and then, you know, doing the blending it all up. And then you will have a Boozy Bailey's Oreo milkshake.
Love it. It's so delicious.
I'm glad I picked this for some. This is a good place, so we won't have to chug milkshakes.
Yeah, thankfully.
Hopefully.
I might end up just chugging this, though.
It's really delicious.
It is delicious.
And if you have it, if you want to get even more, add like a cookies and cream chocolate bar to the garnish, too. The Hershey's chocolate. The Hershey's cookies and cream chocolate bar.
I don't like those. Do you like those?
They're not my jam. They taste a little bit like medicine.
I don't like white chocolate.
Oh,
I
do.
That bullshit. It's not even real cocoa. Mm.
It's not real chocolate, but I do like it.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. And I think that's what's in that.
It is.
Yeah. I like some of the other weird Hershey flavors, though. I'm a big Hershey's guy. I'm thinking about going to Hershey's Park.
I've been a couple times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
After I go, we should probably talk about it.
We could talk about it, yeah.
This podcast.
That would be a place that we would go when we were kids all the time.
Yeah.
And they had these, like, little, you know those things you sit on and then you take the...
scoot scoots?
And then you take the bar and you go like that.
I haven't seen them since the 80s.
But yeah. They had, like, that was just, like, an attraction. And you would, bang into kids.
It's a great attraction.
I remember that being my favorite attraction, and that was just something you could buy at Toys R Us.
Is it true that the whole place smells like chocolate? Don't ruin my dreams.
There's chocolate smell there.
Okay. Amongst others.
I mean, I haven't been in 20 years, but, there's other smells mixed in, too.
Sure, sure.
When I was there, they did have the tour of the chocolate factory, which I don't know if they still do.
Willy Wonka's tour of the chocolate factory.
I don't know about that. It's been a minute. It's been a hot minute. There's definitely some
Pennsylvania guy who looks like an Oompa Loompa that works there. Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
But, yeah, we should definitely talk about it on the pod.
Yeah,
okay, so what mug are you drinking out of today?
Today I'm drinking out of my Rock and Roller Coaster mug.
Okay, you're in Hollywood Studios.
We're in Hollywood Studios, and it's big enough to hold this giant concoction that you made me.
Okay, well, I'm drinking out of my Princess mug because it's my most recent purchase, and I kind of, you know, hyper-fixate on one thing until I get the next thing.
I've seen it.
So it will be the mug for till my next trip, which is in 3 weeks.
Okay,
Okay, so let's cover the basics here because we were both excited to talk about this one. This is the full name, its dog show name, is the Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater Restaurant.
I don't like it.
But we call it the Sci-Fi Dine-In.
Yeah.
It's a theme restaurant at Disney's Hollywood Studios, established in May 1991. The restaurant is modeled after a 1950s drive-in theater. Walt Disney Imagineering designed the booths to resemble the classic convertibles of that time period.
I think that I might have just learned that it's dine-in and not drive-in.
Oh, you thought it was Sci-Fi Drive-In.
I think so. I mean, it's been a while since I thought about this place, but, like, I've been several times.
Yeah.
I think that I always just thought it was drive-in.
I knew it was dine-in because I worked right next door to it. It holds a building with ABC Commissary.
That's true.
So I'd have to, you know, see how the better half lived when I was working at the quick service.
Killed it in like as a waitress.
They used to wear roller skates. I don't think they do that anymore.
Oh yeah,
they definitely don't. Because the last I was there recently, and no one was roller skating around.
That's true. They used to wear roller skates,
mm-hmm. And they used to have like actors. They had like someone play like a policeman who like would yell at people
smoking weed and shit. No,
for sneaking into the theater. There's a couple things that they've taken away from this place that I'm not too happy about. Popcorn used to be an hors d'oeuvre. You'd get popcorn.
Just like given to you.
Given to you when you first got in.
You should.
Yeah, they don't do it anymore. It's
mistakes. JPEG. These are mistakes.
While eating, guests with watch a large projection screen with clips of 1950s and 1960 films such as Frankenstein Meets the Space Monster.
I love that.
Plan 9 from Outer Space and Attack of the 50-Foot Woman.
I didn't know that you were in this.
I know. It sounds like I'm a little triggered, and it's rude. The Sci-Fi Dine-In opened along with 19 other new Walt Disney World attractions, marking the complex's 20th anniversary. By the following year, The Sci-Fi Dine-In was serving upwards of 2,200 people per day, making it the park's most popular restaurant.
Cool.
Who knew?
Yeah.
The success of 50s Primetime Cafe, a theme restaurant that opened 2 years prior to Sci-Fi Dine-In, also in Hollywood Studios, led to the emphasis on theme dining during the design of Sci-Fi Dine-In.
Okay.
They were like, people like theme.
People,
well, yeah.
People are like, they don't like Mama Melrose.
No, they don't like that.
Let's change.
The restaurant features traditional American favorites like burgers, pasta, and salads. The food isn't the star here.
Sure does.
I love those things.
Yeah, sure.
But
not here, though.
It's not the star. Everything I had the last time I was there was...
It's passable.
It's fine. It was good.
It's fine.
But, yeah, it's not... You're not going there for the food. So I always like to, when we do these restaurants, I always like to... You know, bring in some of the reviews.
Mm-hmm.
So, currently it has 4 to 5 star rating on TripAdvisor.
Okay.
And here's just an overall briefing of the reviews. The Sci-Fi Dine-In has received mixed reviews. USA Today's list of best restaurants in American amusement park ranks Sci-Fi Dine-In number 15. So, out of all the restaurants in all American theme parks, it's currently ranked number 15. But many reviewers rate it more for its highly themed atmosphere rather than the cuisine.
Do you know this list?
No, I don't, but we're going to find it.
No, we're going to. We have to read this list.
I need to see the list.
I'm excited for this list.
Winston-Salem Journal. Is that something that you read as a child?
Winston-Salem, like the cigarette brands?
I don't know. That's a journal? I'm assuming it's some New England journal. Because it's Salem? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, Winston-Salem is definitely a cigarette brand.
It's wrote that the food is more expensive than it's worth, specifically calling the restaurant's roast beef sandwich both delicious and a total ripoff.
And then they ashed their cigarette.
Excuse me, I just sneezed.
That was the cutest sneeze ever.
It was small nose.
Oh, if you guys ever just saw that.
I can let one go, though. If I really want to,
okay.
I can bring the house down.
Okay.
I could... You know, what's his name? That wolf. The big bad wolf.
You can huff and puff and blow your nose down.
But mostly I'll just do that one.
The cute one. Okay. I like it. It's good.
So here's a good review. I'm going to give an example. These are all recent. So this is within the last 2 months.
Okay, cool.
So here's a good one. Sci-Fi is a must. What an awesome experience. The food is okay, but the cool atmosphere is the best. It's our family's must-do restaurant.
Sure.
That's what these people say. Then this person who
I'm not going to argue with them.
Poke some holes in this next one.
Oh, okay. We're going to argue with the next
Let
one.
Let there be light. Disagree.
Oh, get out of here.
We have been.
Each of these cars has lights.
I'm going to ask this guy something in a second. I know it's a guy. I just know.
Oh, well then.
We have been to this restaurant a few times and really like the creative atmosphere. In the past, the menu has had more offerings, but this visit, very limited options. It was basically, would you like a burger or a burger? That's kind of funny. Also, I don't remember it being so freaking dark before.
Freaking?
I added that.
Don't put words in Marv's mouth, okay?
You cannot see your meal. Also, we had a party of three. The car seats 3 rows of 2. It's not a man.
Bring on it the could Karen.
It could be. So my husband and daughter were in the front.
It could be.
I was in the middle. And 2 other people, not in our party, were in the back. It was so weird. I could hear their whole conversation behind me.
I love that part.
I could hear their whole conversation behind me as I ate alone in the dark. A sensory nightmare. The drive-in aspect is cool, though.
Well, I mean, you have to pick a lane, lady.
Yeah, pick
or,
a lane.
Or sir.
Person.
Person.
Here's the thing I'm going to pick with this. Have you ever gone to just a movie theater that they have now where you can eat in the movie theater?
I love them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I go to them all the time.
I love that.
I only go to them in reality. I go to Alamo Draft House. There's one in Williamsburg that's like a little bit more homespun version of that.
Sure.
Yeah, I love it. Getting booze, getting snacks.
Having it
like
brought to
set,
you?
Yeah. I'll bring it on.
Took me, like, my grandmother, like, a year ago, and we had the best experience.
It is very dark.
It is dark.
Yeah.
But... Come on, who cares? We don't want, if we're watching a movie in a theater, and like this is supposed to be like a theater, we don't want lights now.
No, I'm 40. I know how to eat.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And someone wrote like some review where they were like, who knows if like my burger wasn't prepared correctly.
Did it taste like it was prepared correctly?
Exactly.
Then stop complaining. Then
stop looking for complaints.
Yeah.
So, but I would say that most of the reviews were positive.
Sure.
So what is your experience with this place?
So we used to, this was a must do for the Bieber clan.
Oh, so was that you that wrote that?
Yep, it was me. we would go every time that we were, it was, I mean, by far the one that we went to the most.
Right.
And I loved, the vibe of this place is perfect. It's exactly what I wanted it to be. It does feel like you're in a drive-in. I remember feeling like it's smaller.
It is.
Then the
photos look like they do this like panorama with all the photos where it really like blows it out to the sides. It doesn't look like that when you get in there.
Yeah. And it's a big space, but it's only, you know, I don't know, 15 of these cars or whatever it is, you know?
It's an old soundstage.
It feels like you're in an old soundstage. In fact, like when you're arriving, you know, like getting sat at your table or whatever, you're in the waiting area, you're like in the production area, like the outside of...
it's supposed to look like a box office.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, then they, like, lead you past the fence.
The fence.
Or before that, even though the plywood walls with, like, you know, feels like you're backstage at, any kind of production.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, I think that's where the bathrooms are, too, is, like...
They are.
In that backstage area. And then you emerge into, you know, nighttime, number one.
Right.
Awesome.
Always nighttime, perpetual nightlight. Yeah.
Nighttime during the day.
Amazing.
My favorite thing in Disney.
Amazing.
And it's just incredible.
It's incredible. And it's very quiet. Like, that's one thing I remember about it is, like, I had a reservation the last time at 10:50 a.m. for lunch.
We were talking about that. And I feel like I've been saddled with that 10:50 lunch reservation, like, a lot at Disney.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it. I'm cool with it.
Also, you're allowed to be 15 minutes late for your reservation, so technically your 10:50 reservation could be 11:05, just insider tip.
If you can make it on time.
If you make it on time, this is just for our little fun audience. Mm-hmm.
Our little fun audience. You little fun bugger, you.
You little fun bunch. it's very quiet when you first walk in, and you're... Because everyone's supposed to be, like, you know, watching a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's jarring, the juxtaposition of, like, how loud it is outside. And then you, like, turn that corner and it's, like, you just hear, like, clink, clink, clink.
Yeah.
Clink, clink. Like, you don't even hear talking. Because people don't really talk during a movie. So you're not having, like, a full... I mean, those people in that car behind that lady were. But, like, you know, most people are kind of being, like...
But then you'll hear like the blaring announcer voice of like,
yeah,
it came from beyond.
Yeah, I love it. I just love the whole vibe of it. And I find like the prices to be comparable to quick service. Like if you're getting a burger, like
to be honest, these are comparable to like what I paid for lunch today.
Yeah, feel like the prices are great for the experience that you're getting. And a lot of people feel like this is more of an attraction than a restaurant. When we talked about the Tiki Room a lot on this podcast and say that it should be a restaurant. Like this is one of those things where it's like you could have an environment like this and it could be a restaurant and it would be great.
This is a restaurant. I'm confused.
Yeah, I'm just saying the Tiki Room should be a restaurant.
Just like this is. Yes. Yeah. I agree with
Sorry,
that.
Sorry. I think I confused myself in my mind there.
I totally agree with that. I think that that's, it would make an amazing restaurant.
I just love a hyper-themed restaurant like this. And I feel like San Angelin is hyper-themed, but this is more so because the experience is part of the theme where it's like San Angelin, where it is what makes it feel themed.
Sure.
But it's not about the restaurant. It's about the pavilion.
Yeah. If this was like, I guess we'll go into like plussing it up, but you've said that like there used to be other pieces of this, like actors and
more interactive. Yeah.
And I think like if they brought that back to like more of like a dinner show,
sure.
Like, you know, have some sort of like a storyline that's happening. Cause like it does kind of get a little bit boring. Like, the second time that the movie pays
for 47 minutes.
Yeah. And like, I've definitely sat through
twice. Yeah. Yeah, and which I don't understand. I don't understand why they can have 2 hours of movie. Like, sure. I don't get that, but...
maybe they want you to finish, you know.
Yeah, well, they do. And
they shovel that burger down there, buddy.
If you go to the Wikipedia page on this restaurant, like they say, like the lunch is supposed to be 47 minutes. The dinner is supposed to be an hour and 15. Like they almost kind of like time slot you. Hmm. Like, so I think they do kind of want you to go because this is pretty popular.
Yes.
It's not the hardest reservation to get. It is hard, but you can get at off times. Like I said, like you can get like a 10:50 or you can get like a later reservation. And if you do it in advance, you can get a reservation here.
Yeah. I think that this, you know, because it's so hidden away, like, mm-hmm. you know, in a sound studio type yeah. thing, and, like, it really only has just, like, the one marquee sign out front.
Right.
It's, like, it's a real surprise, you know, what you're getting into if you've never been there before.
Yeah.
You, like, walk in, and you walk past that fence, and you're like, wait, what?
Right.
What the hell am I in right now?
And I feel like if you had to say what the most popular restaurant in Hollywood Studios is, would you say it's 50s Prime Time?
I think I would probably say it was... this, but
I feel like it's this, but I think like if you're
Oga's Canteen, I don't know, like I
mean, if you don't know, if you're not a hardcore Disney person, you might think it's 50s Prime Time and be like, oh, I'm gonna book it 50s Prime. You might not realize that this is like you'd have, I don't know.
I mean, it's all a mistake if you're not going to Brown Derby. So
yeah, Brown Derby, this would maybe be my second choice though.
Yeah, I mean, this is more fun.
If you're like, if you had like, you were going with people that have never gone to Disney.
Oh, I'd bring them.
You here. book this.
Yeah.
You go to people that have gone to Disney, you book Brown Derby.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my vibe. Well,
I guess it depends on like how food snobby.
If they're
they
foodie
are too.
Snobby, still go with Brown Derby.
Yeah, for sure.
But if they're like, I want to experience all the Disney theming,
yeah.
you come here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, it's not like, they're not Disney movies.
For
the most part.
No, sometimes they play the Rocketeer.
Yeah.
And that's usually for special things, but, like, mostly it's not.
And they're not, like there's no IP, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just kind of, like, it's 50s.
And they could have done that. They could have put the Mickey cartoons on there and just...
I'm actually kind of shocked that they haven't.
I know. It's strange.
I mean, I'd be okay if they, like, threw in a cartoon here and there.
I don't know if they still do it, but they used to do something... during like Star, like, and like it was called like Galactic Star Wars Week or something, where they played Star Wars movies in there,
like the full movie.
I don't know, maybe clips and stuff, but they did. They would do like they would do like an overlay, and it was Star Wars.
That's cool.
I wish they would do stuff like that more often.
Yeah, for sure, all the time.
Yeah, I don't understand why they don't, but maybe we shouldn't do that because then maybe they will fill it up with IP. Maybe we shouldn't. We should shut up.
Yeah. Don't listen to me, Bob.
Don't listen, Bob. Bob. Well, Bob.
Bob, don't you have enough going on?
Yeah.
Stop listening.
Leave us alone. Are you ready to drink this restaurant?
Fuck yeah.
Okay. we're going to play Drink That Restaurant. Bob, you can play along too. It's basically a Drink the Difference game. We're going to rank the restaurant through a series of rounds and drink the point difference that we give each category. Ryan, are you going to be keeping a score?
I got it.
For example, if a category is worth 5 points... and you give the restaurant a 3 in that category, you drink two sips or 2 seconds. The shittier the restaurant, the drunker you get. Play along at home. It's more fun that way. So our technical categories are overall theme for 5 points. Then we have extra offerings and entertainment. That's also 5 points. Menu for 5. Food for 10. Drinks for 10. And then our dark horse category is pricing and value for 15 points, where we tell you how much the food costs here and if... we think it's worth all the things in the categories above. For this game, we start with the theme, and this is where this thing really shines. So it's a 5-point category. The sci-fi dine-in is modeled after a 1950s drive-in theater. The entrance is made to look like a box office, and guests walk along a tall fence to the dining room, where they sit at Formica countertops in booths made to look like convertibles. The booths are made of fiberglass with chrome plating. The cars have white wall tires, and speakers are mounted to poles in each car. The license plates are dated from 1955. There are 6 picnic tables near the back of the room that are used when the rest of the restaurant is full. And, yeah.
Lame. Can you imagine getting one of those picnic tables?
So, apparently, all guests who make a reservation, a prior reservation, are guaranteed a car.
Okay.
But... that wasn't the case when the restaurant first opened. People were really pissed.
Picnic tables are for walk-ups?
generally.
Okay.
Or if it's just so over, or they, like, yeah, walk up and then they're like, well, we have the picnic table. The seating capacity is 260 people.
Okay.
There's a facade of a snack counter at the back of the room.
That's pretty big.
Yeah. But I think that's if you're two people per row, like every single of the three rows, every car is six people.
Sure.
Yeah. There's a facade of a snack counter at the back of the room, behind which is the kitchen. The upper walls of the dining room display a cyclorama of Southern California as seen over a fence. Film
is that what that's called? A cyclorama?
Cyclorama.
Because it goes around.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
What a great term. Cyclorama.
Look, Ryan is so excited right now.
Oh, it's a new term.
He really loves words. So this is now we're going to hear this a lot. He's going to write this in stuff for work,
too. What else can I put a cyclorama?
Film props and vintage horror and science fiction movie posters can be found on the outside perimeter of the restaurant, including many props from used in Disney's The Rocketeer, which premiered about 3 months after the restaurant opened.
I love that The Rocketeer can be found like throughout Hollywood studios, like in random spots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were, I think, because
they were like all about it.
So The Rocketeer was 1991.
This is 89.
What? Right? No, this was 91.
Okay.
So what happened was, like, in 91, it was 20 years after the opening of Disney World, and they opened, like, so much shit as, like, a celebration of 20 years of Disney World. And The Rocketeer...
The 50th, we got...
50th, we got...
We got...
Merch.
Pink. We got pink.
And, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. And then The Rocketeer opened 3 months after that, so I feel like there's remnants of them, like, trying to promote The Rocketeer when this whole thing was happening.
Yeah, totally. In that park. Definitely. All over the place.
Yeah.
Randomly.
Yeah.
But I like The Rocketeer, and it's like, I don't know, lesser known, like has not aged well. Yeah. So
as far as restaurant theming.
I mean, that's how you have to think about this, is like, this is compared to like other restaurants.
Yep.
At all four parks.
Yeah.
Not just.
I prefer this theming over Space 220.
Yeah.
Like, and that was supposed to be the most incredibly
sucks.
That cyclorama is lacking, and we have an episode on that, so you can go back and listen to it. It's called Waste of Space 220, one of my favorite names of the podcast episode. There's not a lot of joy in that one. Like, it's sort of like, it's just dull.
This is full of joy.
This is so full of joy.
Yeah, agreed.
Colorful.
Now, I will say that, like, when they were wearing roller skates and there was, like, other characters walking around, it's even more immersive.
More immersive, yeah. And the popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
The fact they took away the popcorn, which I don't know how much of a cost savings that was.
I mean, we've bought popcorn. We know it's
It's dirt. Yeah. Cheap. Why not? Like, you're at a movie theater. Like, popcorn is the perfect little thing. Like, mm-hmm. little touch of magic.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they thought it was messy.
Even better is that they have mom come around with little bags of popcorn and give it to you.
Yeah, that would be better. Or little bags of chocolate. Yeah. And like little beach chairs. They'd randomly would sit next to you in a beach chair with like the earphone. Yeah. Yeah.
While you're trying to eat your burger.
I think we just want we just want actors like everywhere in the parks.
Yeah. I think I just miss my mom. I think it's happening.
Hi, Mom.
I love you, Mom.
My mom's a listener, so Mom, hi. Yeah. I love you, too.
Hi, Mama Ham.
So what do you think on 5 points for the theme?
Of the actual place, mm-hmm. I think that the theme is pretty great. I wish that, like, some of the food was a little bit better themed or the naming of that.
Well,
but,
it
like,
used to be, and we'll get into that next.
Yeah, but we'll talk about that in
the menu category.
In the menu. So, I mean, as far as this goes, I think, you know, it's we're rounding towards perfect, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I think that it was better before, and those things that they took away took it from a 5 to a 4.
So. Well, for me, I think it's a 4.5, so tie goes to the restaurant. I'm going to give it a 5.
Okay, cool.
Because I really don't know what I would give a 5, if not this. I don't know.
Okay.
So that's my rating of that. Extra offerings and entertainment is the next category. We know what the extra offering, we've said it ad nauseum. This is a 5-point category. Like we've said, while eating at Sci-Fi Dine-In, guests can watch clips from 50s and 60s science fiction films, B-horror films, monster movies, pseudo-documentaries, bizarre newsreels, and animated cartoons, all on a loop that lasts 47 minutes. That's the extra offering. I think that's where I think that the roller skating and the fake policeman kind of is where I take the point off.
Sure. Because, like, the vibe is...
And the popcorn.
I think, like...
Also, why not even have popcorn, like, offered as an appetizer? Like, why not charge for the popcorn?
Sure.
I think it's because they don't want people sitting there for too long. I think that's what the popcorn... Because I think for me, when I have popcorn, I don't... Popcorn's not a... Like a,
but like it's 47 minutes, and then you're seeing the same shit again.
Right, but if like people like you use this place as a break,
yeah,
they might just sort of like have some popcorn. I don't eat my popcorn sitting forward. I eat my popcorn sitting back and relaxing.
Okay.
So once the popcorn comes, I feel like I would just sort of like chill back.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's probably the problem with the popcorn. I figured it out.
It sounds like a problem. Knowing your popcorn eating stance is that's an interesting fact.
Food groups for me.
You do
Diet Coke, popcorn.
You do love your popcorn. I think that.
But there is something here.
I mean, I love these movies. I think that like I appreciate B horror and sci-fi because of this place.
Yeah.
You know, like I definitely saw the trailer for Plan 9 from Outer Space 100 times here before that I actually saw the real movie.
Okay. Yeah. You saw the real movie?
Yeah, but
like, I didn't saw any of these.
But only because of this place, like only because like I knew of it because of this place, you know. Same thing with like I don't know whatever those giant Gila monsters are.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. So I think that Creature from the Black Lagoon, which I think is a Universal property. I don't even know how they're getting away with
it. I was thinking that myself.
I don't know that it's enough of an extra offering. For it to get like high marks.
It's not like you could really like invest in anything. Like it's not like you're really not watching anything.
Yeah.
It's like
they're just
it's
like
just
2 minute clips of
yeah, it's just something to look at.
Yeah, so but I do look at it the entire time.
I mean, do
like,
too.
You know, like I'm kind of mesmerized by it.
Yeah. I feel like I'm looking around a lot. I love that sky. Like that's
I do love the sky. The
twinkly
is great.
Sky.
In the Kaleidoscope-a-rama?
Cyclorama.
Cyclorama. Shit. Damn it.
I like looking at the cars. I the last time I got the pink Cadillac, and I was so excited. It was the bubblegum pink Cadillac, and I was like, you get me. You get me.
Okay. Extra offerings. I don't know. Like for me, I think we're like halfway there. I think it's maybe like a 2.5. I'll give it a 3.
Okay, I'm going to give it a 4. Next category is the menu. We've got our menus here. But before we do that, Ryan, I just want to say that the menu used to be different. It's another thing that's sort of changed. Let's look at the menu as it is now. Go to the appetizers, by the way, the appetizers, read them off. You can go.
All right, so we've got crispy onion rings.
That's very 1950s.
Sure. Fried dill pickles.
Okay, that's my recommendation for everybody. That's what I got.
They're good.
That's the jam. And the dipping sauce?
Horseradish or ranch dipping sauce. Nice.
Take them both. I'll take both.
Spinach and artichoke dip with cashew cheese. That's a weird thing.
I don't know it's plant-based. I don't feel great about that as an option. But
Black garlic Caesar salad.
No.
It's a strange appetizer. Weird. And sci-fi smoked wings. Horrible name. Probably pretty tasty.
Right. And then let's just read the entrees quick.
We got a barbecue burger, a classic American burger, a pork-on-pork burger, a feature film burger. There's a lot of burgers.
It's a lot of burgers.
Chicken salad sandwich.
Yeah, it's not even like a fried chicken sandwich. It's a chicken salad sandwich.
House-made creamy blend of chicken, Granny Smith apples, celery, mayonnaise, and spices.
It sounds like more of a picnic food than a... Than a drive-in food,
yeah,
but
totally.
It's fine.
It does sound like something that your mom would maybe make and pack in a bag. And
that, maybe that was the maybe that was the thought.
I don't know. whatever. What else do they got? Grilled chicken, citrus salad, some chicken pasta,
a couple
an impossible burger, salmon pasta.
Okay, so what do you think about this? I mean, like, if you were going to order right now, what would you get? If I was going to order, I'll tell everybody what I would get. I would get the fried dill pickles as an app, and then I would get the drive-in barbecue burger.
Yeah, I like that barbecue burger. I don't know.
The pan-seared salmon pasta, though, it would be sounds nice if I was, like, trying to be, like, a little less disgusting.
Sure, sure. I like an Impossible burger. I might... No, it's got cashew mozzarella. That sounds gross. I'm probably barbecue burger and, I don't know, Caesar salad.
Oh, I was going to say, if you said pickles, then we could say fried dill pickles and barbecue burgers.
For the team.
But he didn't. He went.
I refused.
For a fucking salad. So this is not the most exciting menu, but the menu actually used to be just as not exciting, but had way funner names.
I like that.
So I'm going to ask you, Ryan, which of the following is not one of the names of the items on the restaurant's original menu?
Bow, bow, bow. Game time.
Go. You better crank your shoulders out.
Okay, cranking.
Okay, Attack of the Killer Club Sandwich.
In.
Tossed in Space.
I love it. It's a fantastic name. It's a salad.
Yes. It's a salad.
I love it.
Yeah.
What a great name.
The Cheesecake That Ate New York.
Okay.
Frankenstein Meets the Space Macaroni.
Horrible name.
Journey to the Center of the Pasta.
Okay. Okay.
Which one's fake?
I'm hoping that... I think that Frankenstein one is real.
All right, so you got Attack of the Killer Club Sandwich.
I think that's
that's
good.
Real. Yeah. You think it's real? You think Tossed in Space is real?
It better be. It's so good.
Cheesecake That Ate New York.
I think that has to be real.
That has to be real because it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Frankenstein
and it's like Cheesecake New York.
Frankenstein meets the Space Macaroni.
That's so bad.
That you hope it's fake.
I hope it's fake. But
okay, so that's the one?
I think it might be real.
What's Journey into the Center of the Pasta?
That's also horrible.
I love that one.
Journey into the Center of the Pasta or Frankenstein Mac and Cheese. I mean, whoever came up with either of those,
yeah,
including Adrian,
could be me.
Should be fired.
It might be me, if you want to go with it.
I'm going to go with the Frankenstein mac and cheese.
You're correct.
Okay. Thank God. Adrian, don't quit your wonderful day
job.
Well,
that was the name of a movie, Frankenstein Meets the Space something.
Yeah.
I just changed it to macaroni.
Yes, I know you did.
My favorite is Tossed in Space.
Tossed in Space is so good.
It's so good. And Attack of the Killer Club Sandwich is awesome, too.
Yes.
So they used to have more fun names, but apparently people didn't want to read what the meal is.
I mean, you know,
they were confused.
Brenda from Branson is ruining my time.
Branson? Branson bound.
Yeah. Actually, I really want to go to Branson. I have a secret itch.
You do?
Scratching.
I only know about it from that one movie.
It's a weird theme capital of the world.
Yeah. It's a place where people in the Midwest, that's where they vacation, right?
Yeah. And it's
what do they do there?
There's full of shows and
like Elvis impersonators?
Yeah,
and
that type of thing. Comics and Elvis impersonators and the Titanic Museum.
If you're from Branson or you've been, send us an email.
Yeah, tell me what I should and should not do because I'm planning a trip.
God. Okay, so what do we think about the menu, though? That's the menu that I just said is not what it is. It's the menu that we just read.
I mean, it's not great.
It's not great, but maybe it's great because...
I'm not excited to eat anything. I guess that's the problem, is that, I will eat anything that's on here, but I'm not excited
What
to
would
eat.
You like to be on there?
I don't know.
See, that's the
this
thing.
This is
it's
their job to figure out.
But... we're just the talent.
Yeah. I don't know, meatloaf or... I don't know, maybe that's more
See,
prime
but, like,
time.
What would you eat at a... I feel like, where's the hot dog?
Sure.
I'm trying to think of
things... Yeah, a really good hot dog?
Yeah, like a Chicago dog.
Yeah.
Which changed my life.
Oh, yeah? You're a big fan of pickle on dog?
Oh, my God. My sister and I went to Chicago, and we had a lot of things that we planned to do.
And they all got ruined.
And they all were just like, let's just go get another fucking hot dog. I remember we were going to the airport, and we were like, We were like, let's just wake up early. There's the hot dog, the place that like had the best ones. We got two for the road.
Wow.
But yeah, where's the hot dog?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where's the they used to have something, a gross thing on the menu. It was called popcorn macaroni or something, and it was disgusting, and people didn't like it. But they were trying to incorporate like drive-in sort of
sure
things into it. If you go to a movie theater, like where's the nacho, the plastic cheese?
Yeah, where's the good? Yeah, like where's like a dope nacho entree?
Yeah, like not, or just a plate of nachos with sure like all the crap on it.
I think that they're like the, I think that because it's dark. Mm-hmm. They don't want like people making easy a mess. Food. They want easy food.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but like, give me like upscale chicken tenders. You know, like
okay, yeah, chicken tenders should be on there.
Yeah, but like a not a kid version, like an adult version.
Right.
I know this sounds ridiculous, but you know what I mean.
Chicken feet and yeah. Something else. Yeah. Yeah, chicken
giblets,
chicken 401k, something adult. What do you mean by that?
Like a General Tso chicken tender. Oh, okay. Or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sticky chicken nuggets.
Yeah. But yeah, exactly.
But I think you're right. I think you're right. I didn't even think of that. They probably like a hamburger is just easy to just pick up and eat.
Yeah.
Put it up and down. You know, like no. But if you have something where it's like you're cutting into it,
or like pieces come off. Yeah. Like why is there a steak? That's weird.
Because they probably like the steak would. Also, I think
because you can knife your.
I
wife
think there's it. A timing thing here.
Oh yeah,
the steak, and then what happens when Miriam sends the steak back?
Because she's always going to.
Yeah.
Fucking.
And
Miriam.
Fred can't bring you asks anywhere. To speak to the manager because this is the second time they've had to send it back.
Yeah, Fred and Miriam.
Fred and Miriam are going to take target. Way longer yeah. than 47 minutes.
It's definitely the target market.
Yeah.
Fucking Miriam.
So, I think here's what I think about the menu. Could it be better? Yes. Could it be worse? No. No.
It really can't be.
It can't be worse yeah. because what would dog food?
Yeah.
That's the only thing that could be worse. I think it lacks variety.
Yeah, and interest.
Yeah.
Everything's blah.
It feels almost
cashew
like...
cashew cheese.
Multiple they're trying to, like, objects. Deter you a little bit from coming here, almost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, because it's so popular.
Yeah, just come here for a milkshake.
I'm going to give it a 3. Because, like I said, I don't think it could be... maybe it's a 2.
Yeah, I'm giving it a 2.
But I did like my food. Well, that goes into food. So, all right, the menu, yeah. I'll give it a 2. The menu, I'll give a 2. Because the menu lacks variety. The menu's its problem on its own.
Okay.
But the food that I ate was good.
Okay.
So that's the next category, which is the 10-point category called food.
So it's been a while since I went there.
Yeah.
But when I was there, the food was similar to the menu, pretty blah.
Okay.
You know, most of the stuff at Disney's like, not bad. Like, you know.
I mean, a hamburger is pretty basic, though. Like, I mean, you got to really screw up a hamburger.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, if it's just like a basic burger, then like I'm also kind of, you know, I've had a million of them.
Sure. So.
All right, we're on food. 10 points of this cat.
I really liked my fried pickles. I really liked my burger when I went. And then the time before that, I did have that chicken salad sandwich, and I enjoyed it.
Okay.
What
are people saying in the interwebs?
They're saying the food is not the draw.
Yeah.
Food is basic.
All right, so you know, I'm gonna. I haven't been there in a long time. I'm just gonna go off of memory, and
I don't think the menu's changed much. It's just the names have changed.
Yeah, so I think I'm gonna. It's a 10-point category. I guess I'm gonna give it. I'm gonna get it halfway there, so I'm gonna give it a 5.
Okay, I'm gonna give it a 6.
Okay,
and then Ryan, if you want to read off the drinks,
I would love to. We got non-alcoholic beverages like the Meteor, which is just Coke.
That's what
you
it
heard
is?
That right. It's just Coke in a souvenir cup.
Oh.
Which I hope that souvenir cup's cool. It's got a glow cube. That's nice. We got some wines and some sangrias. Nothing looking all that special there. And then we have some concoctions. We have the
Magical Star, which...
So the Magical Star is everywhere, everywhere. Right? But it's not... Is it always the same...
Pretty much.
Drink?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's basically like a fruit punch with... It's a boozy fruit punch. Then you have a spicy Martian margarita with Patron. It's okay. It looks like normal-ish. Orbiting Oreos, which is...
Kind of like what we're having today.
Kind of similar to this, but instead of Bailey's,
it's they've got Godiva. They've got Godiva chocolate.
And a souvenir glow cube.
Everything has a glow cube. Gross. Every single thing here has a glow cube in it.
Except for the margarita.
No, it should.
Okay, well...
I think it should. I think they give you a glow
cube. The only ones that call it out is the Magical Star and the Orbiting Oreos that you can't see through.
That's weird, because shit. I think that's part of the thing here is that you get a glow cube, but I could be wrong.
Okay. They got a pina colada.
Colava.
Yeah, well, okay.
You didn't want to say it?
No, I did not.
I do it. Pina colava.
We got a chocolate martini. We got a Long Island Lunar Tea if your family's really bothering you.
I'm going to try it next time. I'm just curious.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're using decent stuff. They got Hendrix in it. They got Tito's. It's actually, if you're going to have a Long Island iced tea, that's a pretty damn good one to have, to be honest.
And then you go on the swirling saucers.
And you throw it all up.
Throw it all up.
Yeah.
No calories.
And then they got a bunch of beers.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff's all pretty general. Yeah. I mean, we're really interested in the cosmic concoctions.
I would say that these are passable. They're all fine. They're all using, like, decent liquor. But
I like this better than other ones that we've seen. Like, I think they themed this well.
Sure.
Other ones, it's kind of just like they've got the Magical Star and like maybe one or two other like...
Why are they all... Oh, because it's sci-fi? That's why they're all space?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's... Pina Colava.
Which I do think... I don't know if everyone gets that it's sci-fi. Like, I think they think it's just the 50s drive-in.
Yeah, it's a drive-in.
And even though it's called the sci-fi dine-in, I feel like for some reason that kind of... Because when you're in there, you don't see, like, aliens or anything. The only thing that...
That would be a fun add-in. like somebody, like, in a 1950s shitty alien costume.
Like a shitty one, yeah. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he takes off the helmet, and he's just, like, a pimple-faced kid.
Yeah.
On his break.
Yeah.
Smoking a cigarette in the corner.
Oh.
But, like, but Ryan, in character.
Are you trying to ruin the magic?
No,
like,
character.
That's part of the thing?
That's his character.
Oh, his thing is, like, he goes to the back and takes his thing off.
Yeah,
and
he like, talks to the people at the picnic table, and he's like, yeah. I've seen this movie fucking 90 times.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Trying to
his
work
name's
the crap.
Randy.
Yeah, I was thinking Gary, but that's,
one and the same.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I actually think that the drink menu is better than the food menu. The food
slightly,
but this is about better. Taste, and I've only tried one, but I'm gonna give it a 7.
I'm gonna give it a 5 again because this.
Okay,
we'll meet in the middle at 6. That's fine.
Ryan, what is the totals as of right now?
You like it more than I do. You've given it a 24. I've given it a 19, which is
this
kind
is
of
out of 35 points.
Okay,
so I think 24 out of 35 is good, and 19 is about halfway.
Yep, so we're 21.5 is our average.
Average right now. Yeah. Okay, so lunch and dinner at this place cost the same. Entrees range from $19 to $27. Drinks range from $15.50 to $17.50. Drinks are crazy expensive, but that's a Disney World thing. Mm-hmm. They don't really have any special drinks under $15.
You know what? I'm I like to drink.
You do.
But I don't want a ton of drunk people around, and the price makes it so that you enjoy your drink, but that you don't like get.
Oh, hammered. You think we're having a atmosphere tax added to the drinks.
Yep.
I mean, probably. If the drinks were $8.
And I'm happy for it because, like, I really don't want, like, you know, at 10 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night, like, right when I'm, you know, enjoying the last bits of it to see, like, somebody throwing up in a corner and stuff.
Yeah.
So, and if they were $8, that would happen.
Sure. I think entrees, especially for dinner, being between $19 and $27, that's a slightly above a quick service. And the 19 is probably on par with the quick service.
Totally.
For this experience, and the food is quick service-like-esque, I think the pricing and value is great.
I agree.
I don't think they're price gouging here.
Not in the food. I mean, like, the appetizers are like $11, $11 to $15.
That's still kind of not bad.
No, that's good. That's yeah, really like, good.
That's just really. How much are the fried pickles?
$12.
Yeah, worth it.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think that the pricing value here is good.
Even the beers aren't that bad. Like, they're like $8, $9.
That's not bad. But you can also just go to Baseline next door and. But those
spend $89 there.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, and you got a shitty charcuterie plate.
Yeah, don't eat there. Well, I know some people do, but don't do that. So I think the pricing and value is really good at this place.
Yeah.
So this is a 15-point category. I'm going to give it a 12.
You know what? I think I'm there. Oh, yeah.
I'll it's a go nice, there. Nice score.
Yeah.
So what's our overall?
Okay, at the end of the game, I've given it a 31 out of 50. You've given it a 36 out of 50. So we're at a 33.5.
Okay. Well, I have the rankings, our current rankings of all of our restaurants.
Oh, great. Cool.
So our current leader is Brown Derby with 41.
Deserves it.
Our current dog is Crystal Palace with 16.
Deserves it.
So coming up from the bottom, we've got Chefs de France with 27, Space 220 with 31, Steakhouse 70.
Well, that's actually kind of surprising that it did that well.
Yeah. I think because Steakhouse 71 was a 32.
Okay.
So this is going to go, this is going to be a 30.
This is like 34.
34. So this will be right after that, right above that at 34. Trails End was a 36. San Anhel was a 37. And Brown Derby is a 41.
Okay. I'm into it.
So yeah, it's upper middle.
I mean, for a place that, you know, really has like six entrees and right. more burgers, that's
for a restaurant,
it's done pretty well for itself.
Yeah. But I had fun talking about this place.
I really do love this place. And, you know, despite it not having the most glowing menu, you know, go. Enjoy it.
Like we said, if you're bringing people that have never been to Disney, I think this is a great dining experience to make people be like, wow.
This is one of those weirdo things that, like, we're going to lose. You know, like, if things keep going the trajectory that it's going, like, go often. Enjoy it, because if we don't go, then we're going to lose it. Because it's one of those weird things that's
You know,
hidden away, and they can easily just be like,
well, we want to take it away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think
we're going to expand Baseline Trap House.
Trap House.
Yeah. It's like, it's just full of trap music.
I think it's a great place to bring people that have never been to Disney or just you just really want to wow. I think put that on the itinerary for Hollywood Studios. And I think you will wow them. Don't tell them about it. Yeah, tell them what it is.
Yeah, that's the best part.
Let them walk in and be like, oh, I love that.
Oh, is that a 50-foot woman? Ah.
Hey, it's just the shoes. They're a little high today. Jesus.
I'm 49 feet.
The Dark Ride, presented by Drunk Distery, is available every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else podcasts are available. The show is free, but you can pay us by simply liking and subscribing, giving us that 5-star rating and review, or just telling a fellow theme parks loving friend to listen. So many of you have been sharing to your stories, and it warms my cold, cold heart.
It's so awesome to, like,
Every
time you send it to me,
yes.
I love it.
I'd say 95% of them to Ryan.
Yeah, and they all make me smile.
Yeah, it's just so sweet. We so appreciate it. Thank you so much for doing that. Please continue to do that, because that's how we get the word out. You can also email questions or shout outs at drunkdistory@gmail.com. Ryan writes back to every email, so if you'd like to get a snappy response, email Ryan there.
I don't know about snappy. Like,
I think snappy's the right word.
I mean, like, the content might be snappy, but I might not get to it right away.
No. I don't mean like in terms of quickness. I mean like a fun little.
I'm real quippy.
Quippy, yeah. Sorry, that's the right word. Please follow us on Instagram at The Dark Ride Podcast and TikTok at Drunk Distery for lots of great theme parks content. That's it for us, guys. But as always, thanks for drinking theme parks with us. Chaz. Come on, baby. Let's do the twist. Come on, baby. Let's do the twist. Take me by my little hand and go. song.